All right, y'all. How's it going? Man, so glad to be with you tonight. Hey, last week we started a brand new series called God Speaks. We're finishing the semester, putting a bow on the semester with this series that's really all about helping you understand that the creator of the universe wants to speak directly to you. That, like, yes, he wants a relationship with you, but it goes even further than that. So much so that, like, he actually wants to speak to your heart and to your situation. And so last week we talked about God's voice. This week I want to talk a little bit about God's will. I know that's a question that as college students you probably ask a lot, like, what is God's will for my life? Well, as we jump into the Bible together tonight, I think that as we look at God's word, we're going to be able to answer some questions surrounding this, like, often mysterious topic of God's will. But I want to start with a story. Back whenever I was little, I used to love spending time, like, going over in the afternoons to my grandmother's house. Anybody, like, love to spend time at your grandparents' house? Let me tell you why. Y'all know. But, like, free snacks, very few rules. I mean, the grandparents' house are, like, it is the best. But my grandparents' house had a little something special. Okay, so my grandparents' house was like this beautiful house, kind of set up right next to this, in their backyard, this little pond. My grandmother loved, like, to decorate outdoors, and so she had bird houses, and there was, like, this kind of big fake aluminum boat on the other side of the pond, all these little statues and decorations, really cool. Well, on their back porch, there was a porch swing, and right behind the porch swing, leaning up against the brick wall, was a Red Ryder BB gun. And so I basically had my own shooting gallery. I basically got to go, and when I went over to my grandparents' house, I would spend, like, significant amounts of time just sitting there on that porch swing with this BB gun, aiming at little things in the yard, yard decorations, the boat, little statues, whatever, and just having target practice. And it was the best way ever to pass time. So much fun. But I remember there was a day that I was, our family, like, everybody was kind of over at the house, at my grandparents' house for some sort of holiday dinner. Everybody was over together. They're all inside. I'm outside playing with this BB gun. I'm kind of not on the back porch, though. I'm out towards the pond. And I'm aiming at this boat that's across the pond. And around the time that, like, you know, I had just, like, chambered a little BB into the gun, and I'm aimed down the sight at this boat, and around the time that I was about to pull the trigger, my grandmother walks out of the door of her house, the back porch, and she calls my name to tell me that dinner's ready. And so she called my name, and when she called my name, I turned around to see what she wanted. And you're probably thinking that I shot my grandmother that day. I did not, but it was a close call. Let's just say I did not have that BB gun waiting for me on the back porch next time I came over to her house. It was actually a long time before I saw that BB gun again, but I learned a lesson that day, the hard way, that potential energy, which is really what that loaded BB gun is, right? Potential energy without aim, without direction, can be really, really dangerous. And college students, I want you to look at your life tonight like potential energy. Here's what I mean. The book of Psalms speaks of children. Now, you're not children, but follow me here. The book of Psalms speaks of children and says they're like arrows in the quiver of their parents, which is to say that, like, parents have this responsibility to train up their children, and basically they are like arrows that are being pulled back in a bow, and then once they step out from under their parents' roof, whenever they step out into the real world, That arrow is released and is sent out into the world to make a significant impact for the kingdom of God. And college students, at your stage of life, where you're at in college, you are like this arrow that has been pulled back, 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 back. And there is coming a time when you are going to step off of this college campus into some sort of a workforce one day, into some sort of a career path one day, like into some sort of a future one day, and you're going to make a significant impact on the kingdom of God. Like you've been being pulled back, and you're about to be launched out into the world to make an impact for Jesus. And potential energy without direction is really, really dangerous. And some of you are like, am I dangerous? Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. That's okay. You know, I think so many people probably in this room tonight have asked themselves this question, like, what am I supposed to do with my life? You say we're talking about God's will tonight. Like, what is God's will for my life? Well, tonight, we're going to, as we look in the book of Psalms, you can turn to Psalms chapter 37. We're going to answer some questions surrounding this idea of how to know God's will for our life. And I just want you to say, like, I know this, that when I begin to talk about your future, when I begin to talk about God's will for your life, there are some people in here that you can literally feel anxiety rising. Like your heart is beating a little bit faster. Your breaths are getting a little bit shorter. You are feeling that anxiety rise. And I just want you to know it's okay. I just want you to know it's okay. And I've got good news for us tonight, that we serve a sovereign God. Which is to say this, if you're like new to Bible study, you're like, what does the word sovereign mean? Well, the fact that God is sovereign means that God is in control of all things, at all times, in all places. And so here's what that means for us. That because God is sovereign in our situation and our circumstance, that means that he knows us intimately. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows each and every one of us in this room by name. Our days have been numbered. He knows each and every one of them. Which means for us, that when it comes to God's will for our life, when it comes to seeking direction for our life, what God would have for us, it's not our job to decide on a direction for our life. It's not our job to like decide what God's will is for our life. If God is sovereign, it is our job to discern what God's will is for our life. And there's a difference there between deciding and discerning. See, when you decide something, the ball is in your court. But when we're talking about discerning something, we're saying, no, 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 the ball is in God's court. He knows. It's not my job to make a huge monumental decision. It's simply my job to look at God and go, Lord, what do you want me to do? It's not your job to decide God's will for your life, but it is your job to discern God's will for your life. And so tonight, I want to talk about how to discern what the direction is that God is calling you. And let me just say, y'all, I'm really excited to preach this tonight, because the truth that I'm going to be sharing with you from Psalm chapter 37, verse 4, have absolutely changed the trajectory of my life. Like, I am standing in front of you tonight because of the truths of this verse that we're going to be studying tonight. And so I believe that, man, as this verse has changed everything about my life, I believe that it has the potential to change yours as well. So Psalm 37, chapter 4 says this, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When you see that phrase, delight yourself in the Lord, you might ask the question, what is David saying here? What does that mean? Does that mean like I'm supposed to enjoy God? Does that mean that I'm supposed to be satisfied with God? Does that mean be happy with God? Well, all of those things are good, but I believe that there's a better translation of this phrase, delight yourself in the Lord, that we need to consider. And it's found when you really zoom in close on that word, delight. That word delight is obviously an English word, but it's been translated from a Hebrew word that I will not try to pronounce because I do not speak Hebrew. However, I can tell you that the translation of that word certainly could give us the English word delight, but there are a few other words that I think almost give a better translation, a better picture of what the psalmist is writing here. So that word delight is a Hebrew word that also could be translated to mean soft, delicate, dainty. My personal favorite is this word, pliable. Pliable. Like clay in the hands of a potter. To delight yourself in the Lord is to be pliable, which is to say, man, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. To go where God wants you to go. To do what God wants you to do, whatever the cost. That's what it looks like to be pliable, like clay in the hands of a potter. When I was in high school, in 10th grade, I was enrolled. Notice I didn't say I enrolled. I said I was enrolled in an art class. And I have like no artistic cell in my body, okay? All the other students in the class, they chose this class. This class was chosen for me. And I remember whenever I walked in the door, like one of the first few days of the class, the teacher goes, all right, our first assignment is going to be sculpting. I was like, okay, great. I can sculpt a sphere. I could probably sculpt a square, like a cube. What do we got? He said, we're going to sculpt busts. Like, busts? What is that? It's a sculpture of like shoulders up. So we're sculpting busts of ourselves. And all of my artistic companions in the class were just, I mean, putting together these mirror images of themselves. Like it looked like Picasso had crafted these sculptures. And then there was my sculpture, which looked like a melting alien. Its head was very egg-shaped. The lips were falling down to the side. And the eyes were incredibly disproportional to the rest of the head. And you might say, that's exactly what you look like. And that is so rude. That is so unkind. But listen, y'all, here's the point that I'm making. In the right hands, pliable can become a masterpiece. And for all of us, if we're willing to be pliable, like to put our lives in the hands of a sovereign God, the same God that put the stars in the sky can take your life. He has desires for you, he has a will for you, and he can do things with your life that you could not even fathom if you're willing to be pliable, if you're willing to delight yourself in the Lord. This word is packed with meaning, to be pliable. Here's what I don't think it means. I don't think it means that I ask God what he wants me to do, and then when he tells me what he wants me to do, I say yes. I don't think that's really the complete idea behind this word. Rather, I think it's a little bit different. I think that what the word delight, this idea of being pliable actually means, what delighting in the Lord actually means, is deciding that your response to God is yes, before you even know what the question is. That like before God even tells you, you would just be willing to put your yes on the table. God, whatever it is, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything at any cost for you. That's what it looks like to delight yourself in the Lord. Kind of like a game that we all used to play whenever we were little. Any Simon Says champions in the room tonight? I was a Simon Says champion. And here's the trick to Simon Says. I mean, you know this. If Simon says it, you do it. But you have your mind. Here's the thing about Simon Says. You're not like waiting on the person to give the command and then going, should I do that? Should I not? No, that's not how it works. You're simply putting yourself in a place where you're waiting to hear that phrase. And then no matter what it is that follows, you've already made up in your mind, the answer is yes. And that's really how it is with the Lord. That's really what it looks like to delight ourselves in the Lord, is before God even asks the question, before he even gives clarity, before he even gives the command, you would say, God, my yes is on the table. Wherever it is you want me to go, wherever it is you want me to, wherever it is you want me to go, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it at any cost. That, like, my yes is on the table. Now, initially, you might hear me say, like, okay, here's what it means to delight in the Lord, that your yes is on the table. And you might go, well, I do this. I do this. Like, if God were to call me anywhere, my answer would be yes. And I think a lot of us think that. But behind our yes is a list of conditions. Behind our yes is a list of strings attached. We'll say, God, I will go anywhere. I'll do anything at any cost for you as long as I can stay around my friends. God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything for you as long as I can stay kind of close to home. God, whatever it is you want me to do, wherever it is you want me to go, my answer is yes, so long as I can work in this specific company, make this amount of money, and also, by the way, like if I could start on this day, that'd be great too. So many of us carry our conditions along with our yes. So many of us are willing to put our yes on the table, but right behind that yes is a list of strings attached. And I want to point you to a verse in Scripture at the end of Luke chapter 9. At the end of Luke chapter 9. And you don't have to turn there in your Bibles or anything. It'll be on the screens. I'll read it to you. But at the end of Luke chapter 9, there's this really interesting interaction between Jesus and a group of people. A group of people is going to come up to Jesus and basically ask Jesus to follow him. And I want you to pay attention to his response. Luke 9:57 says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, that him is Jesus, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another, Jesus said, follow me. But the man said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, Jesus, I will follow you. In other words, God, I'll go anywhere, like at any cost. My yes is on the table. But first, let me say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now pay attention to this. That's the end of chapter 9. Look at the very first verse of chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72, what's that next word? Others. The Lord appointed 72 others. And sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. So what we just saw is that this group of people comes up to Jesus and says, God, I will go anywhere. I will do anything at any cost for you, Jesus, as long as I can also have these conditions. And what we see is in that very next verse, that Jesus chooses 72 people to be his disciples, to carry his name out to the earth. And that group of people that came to Jesus wanting to follow him, but having strings attached, bringing their conditions to the table, that group of people did not make the cut. And here's what I think that story tells us. That the minute you attach your conditions to God's will, it becomes your will and not his. The minute that you attach your conditions to God's will, it becomes your will and not his. And maybe for you, you're past just conditions. Maybe for you, you're to the point that you're like trying to make your own plans. That was me. You know, I told you guys that part of me standing here today has to do with the truths that are found in this verse that we're talking about tonight. Well, man, I can tell you something that has just been a trend for me in my life is that I am really bad about trying to make my own plans and chart my own course. Like, it's just a default for me. And it's almost kind of become like comical. Like, it's almost funny. God, I think, has a sense of humor in my life. And let me kind of tell you what that looked like for me. So I can remember back when I was a senior in high school. I can remember like where we were in Jacksonville. I was in the car with my mom and we were having a conversation about college and kind of what was coming up next. And I remember telling her, "Mom, I will go to any college in the entire country. If I can go to college in Maine, I'll go to college in Maine. If I can go to college in Washington State, I'll go to college in Washington State. If I can go to college in Southern California, I'll go to college in Southern California. But there are two schools that I will not ever go to. And those schools are Florida State College at Jacksonville and University of North Florida." Those were the two schools that were in the town that I lived in Jacksonville. Those were kind of like the two schools that would mean that I did not leave home in order to go to college, okay? And I told you, God has a sense of humor. Because as I told my mom, "Mom, I'll go anywhere. I'll go to Maine. I'll go to Washington State. I'll go to Southern California. I'll go anywhere in the country, but I will not go to FSCJ or to UNF." I went to both. I started at FSCJ and graduated from UNF. Go Ospreys. And I'm telling you, that has just been the trend of my life. That I just kind of have this tendency to want to make my own plans. But when I'm tempted to do that, when I'm tempted to make my own plans or attach my conditions to God's will, what often always happens is I learn a really valuable lesson about that. I learn that God's plans are higher than my plans, that God's ways are higher than my ways. And I learned that the minute that I attach my conditions to God's will, I'm trying to follow my will, not God's will. I think something else kind of around this idea that confuses a lot of people is that so many people, like the way that they approach God's will, is that they'll go to God and they'll just ask God, "Lord, do you want me, like would you just show me, do you want me to pursue this career field or do you want me to pursue this career field? Just tell me, God. And I'll do it. If you just show me, is it this career or is it that career? Is it this major or is it that major? Is it this guy? Is it this guy? Is it this girl? Is it this girl? Like, God, here are the choices. Just show me which one." And I think what often happens is people will pray that, and then some people will begin to get frustrated because they feel as if God's not listening to them. But I feel like the issue is not that God's not listening. The issue might just be that you're praying the wrong prayer. Because I think what it looks like, if we take this verse to heart and we actually delight in the Lord, that prayer needs to look a whole lot less like, "God, do you want me to do this or this? God, is it this program or that program?" And it goes from that to, "God, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, at any cost, my answer is yes." And I think that if we began to pray that prayer, like if we began to just make that our prayer day after day after day, that God would actually like speak to that prayer. And what we'd find is that it's through prayers like that that God often makes clear his will for our lives. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, how can we justify God giving us whatever our heart desires? I mean, we read in the book of Jeremiah that our heart is wicked and deceitful above all else. Who can know it? So we know that what this verse is not saying is that God gives us whatever we desire. I mean, some of y'all got real excited when you saw this was the verse tonight. You're like, I came in here with some desires. I'm ready. Like, name it, claim it, let's go. That's what I'm here for. But I want you to know that's not what this verse is saying. That's not what this verse is saying at all. We know that God's not just like a genie. We know that he's not just out to like grant us wishes. So what does this mean? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That is to say, think about it like this. When you delight in the Lord, God begins to take his desires for you and make them your desires for you. He literally gives you the desires of your heart. When you delight yourself in the Lord, like when you are pliable, when your answer is yes before you even know what the question is, God, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything at any cost for you, my King. When you're there, when that is the posture of your heart, then God will begin to take his desires for you and he'll begin to put them in your heart and make them your desires for you. I told you that the principles that we're talking about tonight have changed everything about my life. I told you I'm standing here because of what I'm sharing with you tonight. And I just want to connect the dots. I feel like that's the best way to teach this, kind of explaining what this has looked like in my life. And so many of you know that before I began doing what I'm doing now, leading the college ministry at Christ's Place, I initially moved up to North Georgia with my wife to take a job at a summer camp down the road in Cleveland called Woodlands Camp. And I took a job there in 2019. And y'all, I love, deeply love Woodlands Camp. Woodlands is where I got saved when I was in third grade. I spent three summers of my years in college serving as a counselor on staff at Woodlands. I mean, Woodlands has a special place in my heart. I got to work there like multiple years on their full-time team. We lived on site at the camp. I'm telling you, like in our minds, in my mind and in Aaliyah's mind, my wife, we had it made. It was like this incredible sweet spot of ministry and like this full circle experience for us. I mean, we just felt like God was so in it. And then one day, we'd been going to Christ Place Church, like that was our church. We were members there, and one day, one of the staff members of Christ Place approached me and asked if I would consider taking a position as the college pastor at Christ Place. And I said, absolutely not. I don't want to be a college pastor. I literally told him, no. Let me tell you why. Because I told you I was good at making plans for myself. I had in my heart that I was going to be, like if I was to do anything in church ministry, that I was going to be a student pastor. Because student pastors are just the coolest, aren't they? I mean, if you grew up around student pastors, they're like, you know, student pastors are just, they're just different. Like they're incredible. My student pastor, like one of the greatest men that I'd ever met. And I had it made up in my mind that like if the Lord was calling me into church ministry, then that looked like being a student pastor. And I was going to try to be the best student pastor that I could be. But thanks a lot, man. I appreciate the offer of doing college ministry. Doesn't sound that fun. You know, I don't think that that's my wiring. But, you know, thanks anyways. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. A couple days later, guy texts me. He's like, hey, would you just consider praying about this? Like, sure, you know, Christian answer kind of thing. So, but I know that when I go to pray, because I told you, like, this is important to me. Like, this principle that we're talking about has kind of shaped really who I am. And so I knew that when I prayed, I needed to get in that posture. Like, I needed to delight myself in the Lord. And so, you know, I remember waking up early in the morning, kind of like I always do, and, you know, just praying, God, I'll go anywhere and do anything at any cost for you. Amen. Then just went about my day. Didn't really mean it, you know, like just said the words. Then the next day, God, I'll go anywhere, do anything at any cost. Went about my day. And then the next day, God, I'll go anywhere, do anything at any cost for you. And like day after day after day of praying that prayer, like there's something about my heart that just began to mean it. Like truly, God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything at any cost for you. And here's what began to happen. I literally sensed over the course of 2 weeks to a month, God began to shift the desires of my heart. Like I began to just kind of have this vision for what like college ministry could look like in my life. Random people like just kind of began to speak like affirmation into my life, like some mentors of mine, and they're going, man, I actually feel like you'd be really good at that. Like, look at this ministry, you know, that you're doing at Woodlands. You're spending a lot of time with college students. I feel like it could be a good fit. And just like little by little by little, over the course of just praying that prayer over and over and over again, after delighting myself in the Lord, I'm telling you, my desires did a 180. God took his desires for me. I'm confident of this. And he made them my desires for me. And that has happened time after time after time again in my life, and it is the reason that I'm standing in front of you tonight. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I'll tell y'all a secret. I don't even like students now. I think they're lame. I think you guys are really cool. But for real, like, it's so cool to be able to look back on my life and to just see how God has ordered my steps. And to see like that he's done that for other people. And I'm so confident that he would do the same for each and every one of you. If tonight you are just willing to say, Lord, I am willing to delight in you. I'm willing to put my yes on the table and just see what you might do with it. There are 7.8 billion people on this planet. And there is one single creator of each and every one of them. Like, hand knit together, each and every one of you. And like so much more than God just specifically creating you uniquely to be who you are. The King of the universe actually has specific desires for you. Here's what I don't mean. Like, God does not just have plans for you. God has desires for you. Like, there is something about his heart that like wants you in a certain place because he knows that when you're there, you will flourish. He knows that when you're there, you are in your sweet spot. He knows that when you are there, he can take and use you and do so many things in and through your life. The King of the universe literally has desires and a will for you. He doesn't just have plans. Chess players have plans, but chess players have no kind of a relationship with the pieces they play with, do they? You are not just a pawn, like on the chessboard of life in God's economy. That is not how he sees you. God has more than plans for you. He has desires for you, and he lets you share in those desires by placing them in your heart as you delight in him. See, I'll just tell you this tonight. If you want to see your faith absolutely skyrocket, I dare you tonight to truly delight yourself in the Lord and just see what desires he might place in your heart. And I'll say this as we close. Don't get scared off if God places some desires in your heart that don't make sense to you. Because that's so often what he does. I told you God's sovereign, which means he can do anything he wants. Like he is in control of everything at all times and all places. And a lot of times it can scare people when God begins to put some desires in their heart that just don't make sense to them. When God puts desires in your heart that you're like, okay, that I don't even know where that's coming from. One of my favorite verses, I told you guys, is Psalm 37:4, but another one of my favorite verses is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. That says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Anybody know the next part? And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Y'all, God is not in the business of doing things the way that it makes most sense to us. Do you know that? Like, have you made it that far in life yet to know that, like, oftentimes our plans fall so short of God's plans? His ways are higher than our ways. His perspective is higher than our perspective. Like, just don't get scared off if God puts a desire in your heart that doesn't make sense, because we can't lean on our own understanding. If you look at Scripture, like, if you look across God's Word, you will see this, like, thread throughout the Bible. Think about Noah, right? Like, God goes to Noah. He said, hey, Noah, it's about to rain so much that it's going to flood the earth. And you've got to build an ark to save yourself and your family. And Noah's like, what's rain? Like, that was not a thing before the ark. And so God, like, gives Noah this command that makes no sense to him. But it was through that command, through Noah not leaning on his own understanding, that God does this incredible work. I think about Gideon. God tells Gideon, hey, Gideon, you're going to put an army together, and you guys are going to go out and defeat the Midianites, and you're going to have an army, and it's going to be an army of 32,000 people. And Gideon's like, I can handle 32,000 people. Like, we'll go and we'll defeat the Midianites. God says, hang on, one second. We actually need to whittle that down to about 10,000. Gideon's like, well, that doesn't make much sense, but Lord, if you say so, I'm trusting that you're still going to be with us. We'll go and we'll defeat the Midianites, 10,000 people. Here we go. And God's like, no, hang on one second, Gideon. Actually, let's take that down from 10,000 to 300. And Gideon's like, what? Like, that makes zero sense. But he trusts in the Lord, takes his army of 300 people, goes out, and in God's power defeats the Midianites. I think of David. God tells David, hey, there's this Philistine champion, 9 foot tall. His name's Goliath. He's been taunting the people of God for days and days and days. And David, I know you're a shepherd. David, I know you weigh like 115 pounds soaking wet. But David, I need you to go out and defeat this giant. And I don't know about you guys, but if I'm David, I'm like, okay, God, where is like the armory? I need a sword, I need armor, I need a shield, and a whole lot of luck. And God's like, I don't have that, but I do have a rock and a slingshot and no armor. And so why don't you just head on out there and just sling that stone over your head and just give it your best shot to try to defeat Goliath with that. David's like, God, like, that makes no sense. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't rely so much on your own understanding that you risk missing out on a move from God. Like so often in our life, what I have seen is that God loves to stack the odds against himself. Because when he pulls through, when he gets the victory, he gets that much more glory out of it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And so God might place a desire in your heart to take a job in a field that you've never thought about. God might place a desire in your heart to leave what is comfortable and familiar. God might place a desire in your heart to pursue a career that will pay a whole lot less than you want. God might put a desire in your heart to say, I'm just going to go into full-time ministry. God might put a desire in your heart that says, I'm going to leave the United States and I'm going to go out on mission. I'm going to sell everything that I have. Doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to go and be a missionary in a foreign country, tell other people about this good news that has changed everything for me. When God places desires in our hearts that don't make sense, if we begin to trust in our own understanding, we might just miss out on a move of God. Don't let yourself be deterred from what God is calling you to just because you can't see how it will work out. God is not in the business of letting you see the end from the beginning. Oftentimes, the way that he reveals his will is one step at a time. And so it's our job to just trust that God's thoughts are higher than ours. God's ways are higher than our ways. And we take comfort in the fact that nothing slips through the sovereign hands of God. And so as the band comes back out and we close, delight yourself in the Lord. Be pliable. God, whatever it is you want me to do, wherever it is you want me to go, my answer is yes. I'm putting my yes on the table. Before you even have to ask the question. Day after day after day after day, I challenge you to make that your prayer to God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Which is to say that he will take his desires for you, and he'll place them into your heart, and he'll make them your desires for you. And in that process of being pliable, allowing God to shape your desires, think at the center of that process, a heart that is in the right posture, submitted to God, what you'll find is yourself right in the middle of God's will for your life. And you'll look back on your life after walking in his will for a little bit of time. And you'll go, man, I had so many other ideas of how my life could turn out, but I'd have it no other way. And I truly think that will be true of you. And so tonight, maybe this is just your response. Like, during this next song, as the band leads, maybe you would just take a moment and like just open your hands before the Lord and go, God, whatever it is you want me to do, wherever it is you want me to go, my answer is yes. And like, that's not a one and done prayer. That's like you pray it so that you mean it kind of prayer. Like over and over and over again, just to get your heart in the right posture so that God can take you and begin to do with you what he wants. And so maybe tonight that's your response. Maybe tonight your response is that you would step into a relationship with Jesus for the first time. Y'all, I want you to know this. We talk about God's will. God's first and foremost will for each and every one of you in this room tonight is a relationship with you. Like, that's where it starts. His first and foremost will for you is that you would come to terms with the reality that there is a God in heaven that loves you, that he created you, that your sin separates you from him, but he's not okay to let you spend eternity separated from him because of your sin. So he sent his son, Jesus, to pay the debt that you deserve because of your sins on the cross. But Jesus did not stay dead on the cross. 3 days later, he was raised to life. And if you place your faith in him and the payment that he made on your behalf, that you can experience a relationship with him forever in heaven. What was broken because of the curse of sin is now restored because of the work of Jesus on the cross. Maybe tonight that's your response. And so tonight I just want to invite us all to stand. And the band is about to lead us in a song. And as God leads tonight, I just want to encourage you to respond as you feel led. Maybe, you know, your response, like I said, is to just open your hands and pray, God, wherever it is you want me to go, whatever it is you want me to do, my answer is yes. If tonight you're interested in learning more about what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus, I'll be standing right down here at the end of the service, and I would love to have a conversation with you about that. But as the band leads us, I'm going to pray for us, and then I want you to respond as the Lord leads you. God, we love you. We praise you. We give you all honor and glory because, God, you loved us so much that you were willing to send your son to die in our place. Lord, I pray for these college students tonight, God, that they, Lord, would delight in you and spend their life living in the center of your will. God, I'm just thinking about a room full of college students that have all the potential energy in the world, God, that are about to be launched out into a world that desperately needs you. And God, I'm thinking about just the ripple effect of what a room full of college students could do if they simply had direction and aim that aligned with your will for their life. God, I'm confident that everything about this area would look so different because of what you do in and through their lives. So God, I ask that that would be true tonight. God, make that true of us. Make that our prayer. Jesus, we love you, we trust you, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.